KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, and around the world at KFAI.org. Stay tuned for the Filipino American National News. Magandang gabi sa inyong lahat and welcome to the Filipino American National News. On tonight's show, we have two special guests to speak about an organization in town that's been doing some great things in the Philippines. That organization is the Foundation for Philippine Medical Missions, and we have two of the members of that particular group on the show. We have Bernard Cabral and we have Redora on the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And for our listening audience that is not familiar with the Foundation for Philippine Medical Missions, how did this organization come about?
I will let Dr. Cabral take that because he is our founder and director of the mission.
So the organization came about six years ago, when we needed to have a group of volunteers, medical and non-medical, to provide free medical, dental, and surgical, including eyeglasses services to the Philippines. And we have done several missions since then. One particular unique quality of this organization is that we have, as I mentioned, non-medical volunteers that are very essential in having a very successful mission. And so far we have had a medical, surgical, dental, and eye clinic mission. And recently we have had two missions to Alaminos, Pangasinan, and Agusan and Cebu, which were very, very successful.
And Dr. Cabral, why did you feel that there was a need for yourself to start such an organization?
We've been doing medical missions for the last 22 years when I was the president of the Philippine Minnesota Medical Association. I started a medical mission group there too, and we thought that to continue this in a broader scale and perhaps involving the non-medical group is essential to have a very successful group in providing these services. There are about 500 medical missions to the Philippines, and there is a need because obviously there are communities in the Philippines that do not have free access to medicines, consultations, eyeglasses, dental services. And we go to communities that we think that there is a need for these free services that we offer. And you know, it requires a lot of coordination, a lot of work, but I think with the great interest of the members, we've been able to provide those services beyond our expectations. Of course, it requires a lot of time, a lot of preparation, a lot of money, but you know, we've been blessed having excellent and generous sponsors over the last several years. Redora, you want to add something to that?
I do. So FPMM, Foundation for Philippine Medical Missions, we are a 501(c)(3) nonprofit. So we have been getting great sponsors that provide us to be able to go to these missions. We do, all of our medical missionaries pay for their own ways, their own way, their plane ticket, and they're very, very committed to helping these barangays in the Philippines that are in great need of medical care, where not only can they cannot afford medical care, they can't get to the medical care, they can't get to those hospitals, so we go to them.
One of the things that we've done to really achieve our mission is we've partnered and collaborated with local organizations and friends in the Philippines. And in fact, some of the missions, maybe half or even more of the volunteers are from the area or from Manila, where we, these are the people who really understand the needs, the real needs of the community, because this is something that they do on a daily basis. And I think with their leadership, with their collaboration, we've been able to provide more appropriate care, more appropriate tools or equipment that they need. So we've experimented on having a dental services back in October of last year. We went to Alaminos Pangasinan, and for the first time, we were able to provide 177 to be exact, dentures for the community. And this required a lot of money, of course, but with the partnership with the local dentist there, over a 2-month period, we were able to provide dentures for 177 patients. And that's, we never thought we could do it, but we did. And
it's unprecedented. Yeah. Dentures in the Philippines are so expensive, and we were able to do it for all of those patients. They came to be fit for their impressions, and then all of a sudden they have new teeth, and it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience to see them finally with smiles.
And you stated that you've been to several different barangays in the Philippines. What is the criteria for the areas that your group goes to?
The greatest need.
Mm-hmm.
Simply, the greatest need.
And you stated earlier that obviously there is a lot of volunteers. Is there a criteria for the volunteers that help out in these missions?
No. We put shouts out to our friends, families, colleagues, whoever wants to come with us, interested in working with us. It's a long trip. It's a long process. Dr. Cabral has a statement that he says that, 75% is done here in Minnesota, all the preparation, and then the work is the most rewarding portion, but it's a very, very small portion of what we do as missionaries for FPMM.
And just a reminder to our listeners that we have on the show Bernard and Redora. Obviously, for a mission, it takes a lot of planning. You stated that there was 2 missions within the last calendar year. How much preparation does it take before you guys go out on a mission?
Selection process for the community usually takes about 2 to 4 years. That long. And then to prepare, it depends on what kind of mission we are going to do. If it requires a surgical mission, that requires at least a year, ideally 1.5 to 2 years. But if it requires a non-surgical mission, maybe a year, 6 months. For example, we are going to Surigao del Sur in August, and we've been planning for this for the last, 3 months now?
Yes.
In fact, last weekend, we just sent more than $100,000 worth of medicines by Balikbayan to Surigao so that it will get there before we arrive in August. So it takes a lot of preparation, a lot of time. And I think one of the difficulties sometimes is recruitment for the right or appropriate people to work in different missions. And Rodora and I and the rest of our partners, we carefully select the people that we think that they could make us better. It requires a lot of work. And we expect them to work, and we expect them to spend for their own expense, travel. And it's to be a volunteer is really...
It's a commitment.
Yeah, commitment.
It's a huge commitment. We're there for... You have to. They have to take their vacation times, spend their own money. It's a very huge dedication for them. And in the process of choosing people, we basically, I anyways, like to choose people of like mind, where service is one of their priorities, service to others, and to hard workers also.
For our listeners,
other services that we did to Alice, the eyeglasses in Alaminos, we distributed 12,000 eyeglasses, and these are both reading and prescription eyeglasses that are high satisfiers for patients. We've had patients who couldn't see; they were holding on to someone to go to the clinic, and by the time they got fitted with the right prescription, you know, for the first time they could walk and see on their own. And it's amazing. It's for the most part, a lot of them really have this life-changing thing that you know, a simple eyeglasses can make their life so much better.
And for our listeners that have never been on a mission, when you see these patients, these people, for them, is this generally maybe the first time they've had real medical attention, or they've had limited medical attention in their lives?
Limited medical attention, and sometimes first times also, because we see families, we see from the child to, and you know, in the Philippines, everyone is together. We see them from the little children all the way to the grandparents. We see the entire family, so sometimes they haven't seen a dentist for decades, and we have the dental people there. They haven't seen a internist or a family doctor ever, and it's just very satisfying for me to see their faces and just promote health, obviously, to the barangays and to the communities that we serve. But also to see their faces and how happy they are that we are also there to serve them.
Yeah, unfortunately, because they don't see a lot of medical services, we see a lot of sick patients, very complicated diabetes, who have necrotic legs or foot or feet. We see end-stage cancer, newly diagnosed or never been diagnosed. We see a lot of stroke patients, and it just very, very complicated patients that require a lot of medical care.
And for our listeners that don't know the amount of travel, from Minnesota, it's generally a day, so 20 hours plus on a flight.
On a flight, yes.
But I think what other people don't realize is then you're going to those locales.
Correct. You will fly from Minnesota to the Philippines, which is a day, and then usually we're not on the island of Luzon, and that's where you fly into, and then it's another bus ride or another plane ride and then a bus ride, and it's a big chunk of our time is trains, planes, and automobiles.
And from what I've heard, the days start very early. What is the typical day for a medical mission, or how early does it start?
Oh, Dr. Q likes us to start very early. We have crowds of people waiting for us once we get there. And that's another thing, we have to have crowd control, and we do bring with us our own non-medical people that organize the patients that are waiting for us to be seen outside or inside, whatever the venue is at the point. So we start, I know I start at 5 in the morning.
Well, we typically are up around 3:30, because we live, we share rooms with
everyone,
and so there's a problem with access to the bathroom, you know, so it's, so you have to wake up early, and of course we have breakfast together, and then we should try to be the facility maybe 6 or 6:30, but patients typically arrive at as early as 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
You know, so.
And then our evenings don't end, and, you know, after seeing patients and cleaning up, probably 7 in the evening, one thing we do always on our mission is have breakfast together and have dinner together. So we can, at the beginning of the day, have our camaraderie and questions answered and experiences, and even in the evening also, so we're all together, talk about what we did that day, what, like, our new people have learned, and just it's a very special time for me.
Very emotional
very emotional.
And speaking of those emotions, I have often heard, when hearing of people doing various sort of missions, especially medical people, that they're profoundly impacted in ways that they may have not thought when they were going there. What sort of things have you seen from the volunteers, the medical volunteers, after going to such a mission and helping these many people with their various medical needs?
One instance comes to my mind where, like Dr. Cabral has said, we see very, very sick patients, patients that have never seen anyone. We had a patient that needed a huge orthopedic surgery. We didn't have any we just saw this patient. And we found volunteers there to help this patient have the orthopedic surgery he needed, and then we also got donors for this person to have this procedure done. And I know there's been other cases where we've worked on trying to find surgeons around in Manila or to help us with these patients that have these detrimental anomalies or that are very, very ill. And the missionaries that come back have a lifelong story that they can tell, and they hold in their heart and they hold in their minds, and they want to come back and do as much as they can to help these people.
Yeah, as much as we think we're helping people, I think we're also, we feel good doing these services, and in a way it's a selfish, when I think about it, it's a selfish way in a way. Fortunately, it's helping other people, but we go there because it makes us feel better, you know, the fulfilling part of that, and just regardless of how tired you are, how hungry you are, how dirty you are, you know, at the end of the day, you look back and you can tell yourself, man, I've done something good. That's why we always say,
I never thought of it that way, but yeah. It's a good selfish.
Yeah, and that's why we always talk about our motto, it is good to do good, you know, and we've always told it is good to do good.
And during this most recent medical mission, there was a partnership with some local Filipino-American organizations, the Phil Minnesotan Association and the LNR.
Yes, Foundation. So as I mentioned, one of the things we've discovered that is that we cannot do it alone as an organization. We need to collaborate with other organizations, either here or locally in the Philippines, so that we can have a better, I think, more effective way of bringing in patients. That number one. Number two is really involving the whole community so that they understand what we're doing, and also for continuity of care in the future if we go back to that community. So we partner with the Phil Minnesotan Medical, FMA, and Flores Foundation in Santa Fe, Cebu. And we were able to provide about 1,600 services to the community of Cebu. What's unique with this too is that we've always talked about this with the local organizations here, and for the first time, FMA has been able to partner with us, not only supporting the mission and seeing patients, but they also were able to provide their own project. Helping the local schools, giving them some gifts and books, and I think some others donations that hopefully they are able to continue in the future. The LNR Foundation is, again, it's headed by Dodge, and we were there, I think, 6 years ago, and we this is the second time that we worked with that foundation. And again, because of their presence in that community, even after we leave as a mission group, the patients that will need some kind of help after will be able to offer some help. One thing that they did this time is to deal with to work with two sisters, two nuns who were able to bring a lot of patients from a remote island, and they required a lot of dental procedures, and in fact a lot of our medicines were left for this community. And hopefully, as I was telling, that's now that there is an airport in that island, we can go back there in the future if there is an interest.
And you spoke of medicine. Is medicine something hard to go by or to get
in
the Philippines?
Very expensive.
Very expensive
there, yes.
And from my experience with speaking with FMA, I know that they were definitely touched by the mission and wanting to do more and seeing those things. Because even being a Filipino or going to the Philippines, you know there's poverty in certain aspects. And when you go back for a family vacation or so, you only see certain aspects of it. But when you go outside of the comfort zone and you see that, for some people, it does give them the reaction that to want to do more and to do other missions.
Well, we have a lot of repeat missionaries. We have a core group that goes with us all the time, plus new ones all the time also. But it is once you go and see how much you can help, or you can see how much joy you're bringing, it is addictive.
It is.
Yes, it is.
In fact, sometimes we're faced with too many people wanting to go.
Yes, we have been faced with that many times. Yes.
And before we let you both go, obviously COVID was something that affected us all on some level, especially the medical field. How did COVID affect the planning of the missions? Delayed it, I'm assuming?
We stopped until we knew that we could get, there were so many restrictions getting into the Philippines, even after the restrictions here in the U.S. were lifted. So we stopped until we knew that we could go.
Yeah, there was a time in the middle of the pandemic, I went there.
I know you did.
And I worked with a local group, and we worked in Cainta. We saw got more than I don't know, a lot of patients. And that it was with the requirement of, you know, quarantine and so forth, but we were able to do that.
You were quarantined for a long time after that.
And one thing that I also would like to mention, one of the reasons why, we've invested in having medical students in the Philippines, meaning we have a doctor there now that we paid for her education. So she's a doctor now that is always there helping us. She graduated 2 years ago, and now she is an integral part of the group, and she helped us with purchasing medicines in the Philippines. And we have another scholar who is in her third year of medical school, and we are hoping to have another scholar in a year or two. So there is that, we're hoping that this doctor's eventually will also pay for someone to go to school.
Yeah,
but I think,
yeah.
But they're there now as part of our anchor there. And again, it's the, we can ensure that whatever we do there, we have those people that can really support us and do the work for us.
Correct, but we always need more volunteers, always.
And before we let you go, you spoke of a mission that's coming up in the summer. Could you tell our listeners a little more about that before we let you go?
Yes.
So on August 18 to 21, we are going to have a medical, dental, and eyeglasses mission in Cantilan, Surigao del Sur. Our host there is the family of Nancy Huelma, who is from there, and she's a nurse here, and also the local government there. We're anticipating to see about 6,000 patients over 3.5 days, and we are hoping to provide about 600 dental services, including possibility of dentures. We just, in fact, today, we purchased an ultrasound for OB, gynecology use, and we will use this ultrasound, number one, to age pregnancy. So it will tell us how old the baby is, the pregnancy is. Number two, we're able to diagnose tumors or abscesses or even look at the kidney, the liver, this was an ultrasound that was donated by one of our doctors, Dr. Herring. He paid about $9,000 for this ultrasound that we'll be using there. We're hoping that we can continue to do this in the future too. So I think the group will be about maybe 70.
Yeah, it's a smaller group. That's a small group.
So we're really excited. And we've been working hard for the last 2 or 3 months for that mission.
And for our listeners that want to learn more about the foundation.
At this point, though, you can go onto our Facebook page, Foundation for Philippine Medical Missions. And if you want to volunteer, please leave us a message. If you want any more information about our foundation, please leave us a message and we will answer and get back to everyone.
On behalf of the Philippine American National News, I'd like to thank you, Bernard and Rodora, for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And applaud the efforts that you have consistently been doing, giving back to the homeland, to the Philippines, and continued success and brightening up and making these people's lives better.
Thank you.
In the Philippines. And
it's
thank
our
you.
Pleasure.
Thank Thanks. You for coming on tonight.
Thank you.
And once again, that was Bernard Cabral and Rodora Leverance talking about the recent mission that was completed this past February and some of the missions from the past and from the future, as stated in the interview. It was great to hear about the efforts that Philippine organizations are making, not just here in Minnesota, but back in the homeland of the Philippines. Just a reminder, you're listening to the Filipino American National News, which is heard every Sunday here on KFAI from 9 to 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on 90.3 FM. Also heard on the web at kfai.org/Filipino American National News. Show is archived up to 2 weeks on the site, and you can download the KFA app either from Google Play or the Apple Store. In regards to another outstanding interview that we're going to be having here on the Filipino American National News, we were lucky, myself and a former co-host of the Filipino American National News, Eric Asuncion, who helped out with the videography of the interview, to speak with Guru Dan Enosanto, who is a spring chicken at 86 years old. He was in town this past weekend, which was sponsored by the Minnesota Kali Group. A person that he was trained under him, Guru Rick Fay, was able to bring Guru Dan Enosanto here to the Twin Cities, and we were able to spend some time with Guru Enosanto to speak about his early experiences growing up in Stockton, California, along with the Filipino martial arts discipline. So stay tuned for that interview on the Filipino American National News next week. We are going to bid adieu and say goodbye to everybody for this evening. Stay tuned for sound effects.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI-FM, Minneapolis-St. Paul. online and archived at kfai.org. The community.